Hey, let me kick off this series on Haremai tomorrow in Otago. Just for those, so Haremai is welcome, it's come, it's invitational, it's come Holy Spirit. Wairua, Spirit, Tapu, it's holy, sacred, so come Holy Spirit is just this call over these next few weeks, just the presence of God to come amongst us. And I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, you know, because sometimes we have weird understandings around the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is in there. And the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit's like a, you know, a force or a power or the, you know, the goosebumps or, you know, those sort of things. But the Holy Spirit's a person. It's God, part of the Trinity. You know, for me, like I was brought up Pentecostal church, pastor's kid, so grew up, seeing a lot, you know, over the years, a lot of the whole movement of the Holy Spirit, people being healed, the demonic coming out, remember those days? All the good stuff, all those sort of things. The power and presence of God. And I have this love and this passion that we'd experience, you know, the supernatural power of God in our lives. That this Christianity is not supposed to just be a mental thing or some ideas in a book, but God actually wants to meet with us, you know, this place of encounter. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to speak this morning, and then we're going to come back at the end and just allow the presence of God, invite the Holy Spirit to come. When I was in my 20s, I moved up to London. And I was part of this church in Nottingham in London called Kensington Temple. And yeah, there we go, in London. And kind of large Pentecostal black church. It was probably about 60, 70% African. And they're very multicultural. And it was the all singing, all dancing, come on, Holy Spirit, smackdown church. Those ones, you know. And it was awesome. And it was in the late 90s. And there was this quite strong, just move of God through the planet, really. And in London at that time, it was quite sensational. And so I loved being part of that church. Youth pastor there for 3 years, and we had a wild time. It was a good time. But down the road, there was this other church called Holy Trinity Brompton. And Holy Trinity Brompton was similar but different. And again, they were experiencing this quite strong move of God. And there was this the minister, the vicar, was Sandy Miller, and beautiful English gentleman, tweed jacket, and this was kind of the white upper class Anglican church down the road. And so Priscilla and I, we snuck off one Sunday to check it out. And what I loved was hearing, you know, everything's, and this Anglican church was very formal and nice. And Sandy Miller, he just, at the end of the service, he was just in a lovely English accent. He said, "Come, Holy Spirit." And the presence of God just turned up, like, absolutely in a phenomenal way. And all these people were just, you know, the presence of God, and people falling off their chairs out of the aisles. What's going on here? And it was awesome, the presence and power of God. Totally different, but totally God. And we need the presence of God. This just gave me, you know, this hunger for the presence of God and what he would do. And out of Holy Trinity Brompton came the Alpha Course, Holy Spirit Weekend. Quite an amazing move of God from these little places, well, not little places, but these places in London. But it's this. What I've found is that when we position ourselves and when we invite the Holy Spirit, he turns up. And we need an ongoing invitation and an ongoing awareness of the Holy Spirit that would create time and space. On the Last Supper, okay, here's Jesus on the Last Supper, and he's talking with his disciples. He knows that he's going to go to the cross pretty soon. And he's telling them what's going to happen. He's saying, look, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He says, look, guys, I'm out of here. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. In John 16, verse 7, he says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He's saying, look, guys, I'm not abandoning you. In fact, when I get to heaven, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's not limited like Jesus to a physical body. He can only turn up at one place at one time. The Holy Spirit has the ability to be everywhere. Amen. So he's saying, look, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And here's the key scripture for today. John 14, 26. Again, Last Supper, Jesus speaking. And he says, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And what I want to just talk to you and introduce you today is to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter. See, I'm very aware, I've been around long enough to know that a lot of people get nervous about the Holy Spirit. They get a little bit power presence of God. What is going on there? And we often see the power presence of God as like, you know, fire or power. And that is part of who the Holy Spirit is. Or the Holy Spirit is maybe, you know, that slightly intense guest speaker who turns up and is doing these ones and running around and people are falling over and it's all getting a bit crazy. Or the Holy Spirit is that, you know, that slightly prophetic guy who turns up and you're sitting there because he seems to have some supernatural insight into stuff you don't know and you're a little bit worried that he's going to call you out and expose you. Who's sitting there on those ones? Or is that just me? Are you guys worried when the Holy Spirit, guys, you know, doing the prophetic thinking, oh man, and you know, doing these ones in the back row, don't make eye contact. Avoid. So if you're this morning, if you're that guy, if you're the nervous, slightly apprehensive, or hey, this is all a little bit new, a little bit weird, what the heck are you guys talking about? Can I just invite you just to relax? Not going to make you do anything, say anything. But I just want to invite you in to a conversation around the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. This is going to be the Sandy Miller, English gentleman, come Holy Spirit, relaxed ones, okay? So, if the Father God is sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, what if we went to the Comforter? What if we embraced the Comforter? The Comforter. And I want us to look at this Greek word, the Comforter. See, it's, the Greek word for it is paraklete. And it means the one who comes alongside. Now, some translations translate it as the word Comforter, but it all can be translated as the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Helper, the Strengthener. How cool is that? See, if the Holy Spirit was the Comforter and he was to come alongside, what would that be like? See, because that's not a scary thing, that's not a freak out thing. You know, when we think of a Comforter, what's a Comforter? It's like a giant duvet, isn't it? Yeah. The big Comforter, you know? What if we thought about the Holy Spirit as like the pink bats guy, you know? if that was the Holy Spirit, who would come alongside as the Comforter and give you a big hug, what would that feel like? Presence of God would come. be with you? Or what if the Holy Spirit was more like Baymax? Does anybody remember the movie, Big Hero 6? Baymax, Disney movie. So Baymax was this robot. He was a medical robot. And they created him to turn up when you're in distress, in an emergency, and you come along. And he was specially made to be approachable, to be cuddly, to be friendly, and to meet your needs. The comforter. He was a medical inflatable robot with artificial intelligence. It's designed not to be scary. What if the Holy Spirit was more like that? The Holy Spirit would come alongside, you're in distress, you'd come alongside and it would help you in time of need. Let me keep developing for you this word, the paraclete. So this word comforter or paraclete, it's a Greek word, but it was also in Greco-Roman fighting times, the person who would fight alongside you. Actually, come here, Ben. So if Ben was my paraclete, I'll be stoked. Because he's big, you know. He's going to fight for me. So in Greco-Roman fighting, the paraclete was the guy who'd go back to back when you're fighting, and he'd fight on your behalf. So if you stand there, and I go here, and you go on the other side, you're fighting. So we're a team, man. We got this. He's got my back, right? Thanks, Ben. That was awesome.
That was powerful.
But the paraclete, imagine if you had God, the Holy Spirit, fighting on your behalf, who's got your back. What would that be like? Come on. If you're going into battle, if you've got some things you're wrestling with, you want the big guy on your side, right? You want the big guy protecting your back. Come alongside and helping you. Here's the big thought for the day. You ready for this? What if our go-to for comfort was the comforter? What if our go-to for comfort was the comforter? So in our times of need, in our times of distress, that our first default would be to go to the Holy Spirit. The one who comes alongside, who supports you, who fights on your behalf. Come on. See, so often, our go-to is false comfort, right? Yeah. Comfort food. Tim Tams. Come on. I see that hand. We go to those places for comfort. We go to alcohol. We go to shopping. Just got to have those shoes. We go to Netflix. We go to porn. We go to medication of the pharmaceutical varieties and the herbal varieties. We go to sex. We go to all these different places for comfort. To find comfort, to numb the pain. But unfortunately, the temporary solutions. But what if we went to the comforter? See, often our default when we're in pain is to seek comfort in things rather than in relationships. So you look for comfort in things. And some of these things, let's be honest, they're like a good old friend, right? Keeps turning up at your house. knocking on the door and saying, let me in. Some are good friends. Some are average friends. Some are downright destructive friends. Maybe you need a little bit of a friend exchange. You know, on Facebook you can defriend people, unfollow. What if the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was to turn up today? So you went to him rather than the other things. See, I think we often expect the Holy Spirit to solve the problem. Divine healing, miracles. But what if the Comforter came alongside and walked you through it? See, Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why could David, the writer of that psalm, say, I can fear no evil? Says, because you are with me. See, we can walk through the valley when we know that God's walking through with us. That he's alongside, he's got our backs, he's the Comforter, he's walking us through the valley together. He's with us. See, the Comforter Counselor often doesn't solve your problem, but helps you find perspective and understanding. That ability to walk through pain and grief. And I wonder, in Pentecostal circles, that maybe we have emphasized the miraculous and underemphasized the advocate, the one who walks through us. Now don't get me wrong. I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles. I've prayed for miracles. I believe in miracles.
Hallelujah.
And I want to see a hang of a lot more miracles. But I've also seen many, many people walk through their valleys. See God walk with them through it. See, I want to tell you this morning, even if you're not miraculously healed, that God is walking with you through it. That the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, would come alongside, is with you. And I probably know that some of you are thinking, look, he's done a one-week counseling course and he's going all wet on us. I actually wrote this at the end of last year, and I'll be really excited to bring this series on the Holy Spirit. But we need a theology, an understanding of God that handles pain and suffering. See, otherwise it leaves Christians disappointed in God when they don't get automatically healed. Or Christians who are totally surprised and unprepared when things go wrong. See, my personal experience is there is a lot more people walking through the pain than being rescued from the pain. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're walking through the pain at the moment, there is an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will walk with you. The fullness of the kingdom of God is in heaven, where there will be no more pain, there will be no more crying, there will be no more death. But on this planet, we still experience all those things. Let me talk to you quickly about Elijah. Remember Elijah? Prophet of God, Old Testament, is up on Mount Carmel, facing off against the prophets of Baal, has this mountaintop experience, nailed it, smashed it, bro, kicked it, on the man, experience. And then Jezebel threatens him and says, I'm going to take you down, buddy, I'm going to take you alive. Freaks out. And he goes into this place of hiding. He leaves his buddy, his servant behind. He's alone, he's by himself. And he's saying, God, just kill me. He's suicidal. He's going, no, I can't do this. He's in the depths of despair. Lays down and has a sleep. Angel turns up. Boom. Bread on coals. Tells him to have another nap. Have a sleep. Wakes him up. Feeds him again. Strengthens him. He walks for 40 days on the strength of that food. See, sometimes we just need a good sleep and some good food. Sometimes we just need to lie down, have a nana-nap. Some good food. The angel turns up. I read this quote the other day around it, and that's why I put it in here. I love this. When Elijah battled depression, God didn't send an angel to preach to him, tell him he needed to pray more, or condemn him for feeling that way. He sent an angel to comfort him while he rested. Some people just need to be comforted. Come on. The comforter. The Holy Spirit. One who comes alongside. We need a comforter, right? Luke 12, verse 11 to 12, again, talking about the Holy Spirit advocate. It's when you're in court, you need someone to stand for you. Your defense lawyer says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit, the advocate, will teach you at that time what you should say. See, we need someone who will come and fight and stand. Be there for us in our times of need. Let me wrap this up just with a quick story with Phil Pringle. On his little books, Moving in the Spirit, Phil Pringle is the, he started C3 Churches, absolutely brilliant. And one of the things which I actually love about the C3 movement is this Holy Spirit orientated and what Phil brings around that. And he wrote this book, I don't know, probably 30 years ago. But I just love this beautiful little story which he tells in it. And he's praying in tongues and he's believing for the Holy Spirit. And just, he has this encounter with God which he tells. Let me just read it through you, I think. Yeah, it's up there if you can read it. But it just says that he was praying through me. So the Holy Spirit was praying through me. The prayer was for me. He was praying through me. For me. The content shocked me. What the Holy Spirit was saying was bold, to say the least, but even more startling was his tone and attitude. It seemed the Holy Spirit had his hands on his hips and was reminding God of his promises. He was telling God he needed to act. He actually named some of the great men from around the world, reminding God that he had blessed them and asked, now, why not Phil Pringle too? He pleaded on my behalf. I was entitled to be blessed as they were. So Lord, do it now, was the Spirit's bold request. Sounded like a demand. I looked to my side where I pitched him standing. I like this. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our advocate with God. This is how he acts through us. It is imperative we pray in the Spirit. I love that picture of the Holy Spirit, right? Who would fight on our behalf, who would place a demand before God, and stand before us. What would that Holy Spirit be like? If you can imagine the Holy Spirit coming before the Father on your behalf, placing demand on the Father, how cool would that be? Come on. Maybe we have the band up. We're going to wrap this thing up this morning.